counsel. You will have 15 minutes. Do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, I'd ask to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, 3 minutes it is. Thank you, counsel. We can begin.
Good morning.
Your Honor, may it please the court, I'm Anthony Valley. I represent the appellant. The way I see this case, there's three cases that are similar, but each of them have a wrinkle that makes it somewhat different from our case. I'll talk about the Diggs, Moore, and Campbell cases. The Diggs, Moore, and Campbell cases. Now, this Gibbs case is somewhat unique in that it's the cleanest. The suppression motion, the evidence that the court heard on the suppression motion was very, very brief. It takes up about 3 pages in the appendix. And unlike the other three cases, it has no wrinkles to it. It's very straightforward. The inspection sticker was taped. It was dirty, so we pulled him over. My brief focuses a lot on the Moore case, but rereading the briefs and reading the Commonwealth's response, I'd actually consider it closer to the Campbell case. The issue with the Moore case, and I know the Attorney General takes issue with it, is it's undermined by the fact that the officer knew that it was a rental car prior to initiating the stop. It's interesting that the Supreme Court says that undermines the trooper, but it never actually says it's only because the trooper knew it was a rental car that the stop was invalid. It says things like the trooper's experience is entitled to some weight, but there's never an explicit statement, had it not been for the knowledge it was a rental car, therefore the stop couldn't have occurred. In the Diggs case, which the Attorney General relies on, there's the wrinkle that the car is seen pulling out directly from an auto shop that apparently has some history of engaging in faulty inspection stickers, criminal activity. And the trooper knew that. The trooper was far more experienced in the Diggs case than the trooper is in our case, the Gibbs case. Here we have a trooper with some level of experience. I think the testimony was 5 years. Interestingly, he's encountered 50 to 60 taped inspection stickers. There's no evidence in the record as to how many of those inspection stickers actually turned out to be invalid.
Counsel, and I appreciate your argument because as a trial lawyer, one of the cases that I was successful in arguing was a case where the police officer, in that case, it was a trooper's justification for pulling over my client, was that he believed that the inspection sticker was placed on the windshield crooked. That was the basis, and as happened in this case, went through all the incidents that would suggest that there was nothing to suggest this car had an invalid inspection sticker because the brakes were working, the lights were working, the signals were, everything was working. So the only predicate was that it was crooked. It wasn't sitting squarely on the windshield. Now, I will tell you this, my client was an habitual offender and he was guilty as he could be, but the officer did not have the prerogative to pull him over. And what won the case for me, and I think this is the problem that you have, is that the judge made a determination from a factual basis that the police officer in that instance did not have the predicate suspicion that criminal activity was actually going forward. Rather, he simply wanted to pull my client over. Since these cases always involve a mixed question of law and fact, I think we're confronted with a situation where if the government had lost, they would have been in a difficult situation based on standard review. But because the judge in this case found the officers or the troopers' basis for the stop to be legitimate, you're stuck with that historical fact, and thus he can get over the legal hurdle that he must get over from a constitutional standpoint.
Judge, I would think that I'm stuck with the factual findings of the trial court as they apply to the actual facts leading up to the stop. What the trooper observed, what the inspection sticker looked like. I can't appear in front of you and say that the inspection sticker wasn't dirty or wasn't taped. We're stuck with those factual observations. The fact that the court ruled that there was reasonable suspicion for the stop, that's a question that the court reviews de novo.
We have to take the facts in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth. And what we have is a trooper with 5 years' experience. He specifically said that on several instances he had dealt with counterfeit stickers. He had made he pulled vehicles 50 to 60 times, and that the only way he could determine the validity of the sticker was to make the stop. There's one objection to him going beyond saying the 50 to 60 times, and so that's why he didn't make the connection. But the reasonable inference is that they were based on faulty stickers. And so, based on the factual circumstances here, I think is consistent with what Judge Alston is saying, we're bound by those, by the facts and the record.
I think the court is, again, bound by the fact that this issue was 5 years' experience. What did get in about him stopping 50 or 60 people for taped inspection stickers, since there was no facts ever heard by the trial court about what percentage of those turned out to be
good stops
or not, whether I should have objected to that or not, the court can't go into that.
No, but in answer to the question, how many times in your career would you say you've dealt with stickers that have been held on the tape? The trooper said probably 50 or 60 times.
Yes, Judge, and that's a finding that the court is stuck with, and I don't think it's necessarily at all fatal to my case, to my position. In the Campbell case, we had the experience level of the trooper got out. In the Moore case, again, I think the experience level of the trooper got out.
I think what's going to happen, I'm going to ask Ms. Fitzgerald when she stands up this question, I'd be interested to hear what she says, is that if this had been the opposite case where the judge had granted the motion to suppress, basically coming to the conclusion from a factual basis that the officer did not have legitimacy in his stop, I think she's got to say that she stuck with that, unless she wants to kind of put herself in a box. So we'll see what she says.
I don't think she would, Judge. And I guess I'd put myself in the box. If the facts were reversed, I would concede that it's a question de novo for the court, whether the reasonable suspicion existed at the time, given the facts that were presented to the trial court and the facts that they existed when the trooper initiated the stop.
Right. I think we all agree that the legal conclusion is de novo.
Yes, Judge.
But the facts that are in the record, we're bound by the historical facts, and they are what they are, and that includes the inferences to be drawn from those facts.
And I'll return to a point you made earlier, Judge Decker. You indicated the trial court made a finding that the only way for the trooper to verify the validity of the inspection sticker was to make a stop.
And no, I said the trooper testified to that.
The trooper testified to that. And that's a fact, and that's exactly the language of the Campbell case that the court found troubling, that there is the only way to verify whether this antique car in the Campbell case was in compliance with the statute was to perform a stop. It could have been in compliance, it may not have been in compliance.
But the difference is here we have a dirty sticker that's taped on. We have a trooper who says that he is familiar with counterfeit stickers and that's what you typically see, that there are these kinds of things that happen. It's yellow. Normally it's clean and yellow. Here it was taped with scotch tape on all four sides. There's facts in this record that support the trial court's legal conclusion, aren't there?
There are facts that would lead, if you make enough successive leaps in logic, that there was reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. But you have to make those leaps of logic first, and it's not sufficient to support reasonable suspicion.
But the best case that you have, and I agree with you, and I find your case very interesting, and I'm glad that it's being presented. Your best case is the Moore case. And so I tried to break down Moore as simply as I could. And basically, without saying it, the Supreme Court said that the trooper, the determination was made that the trooper in the Moore case was not credible. That was the bottom line. court starts out by saying, although inspection seconds may undoubtedly become partially separated from a windshield by a wide array of mishaps entirely unrelated violations, while the officer's experience leading him to suspect otherwise, was entitled to some weight, so the officer thinks he's going to win. And then the court says, but this was undermined by his knowledge prior to making the stop that Moore was driving a rental car. In other words, finding the officer essentially incredible and relying on something that was not supported by something else he knew. And that's what turned Moore case.
I'm not sure that the Supreme Court can find an officer incredible. They just weighed the facts that were established by the trial court and said that this one fact outweighed the other fact. And again, I'd reiterate that in the trooper's word was entitled to some weight. They don't explicitly say, and I don't want to parse the Supreme Court for too much
all the time, so go ahead.
But they don't explicitly say that some weight is sufficient reasonable suspicion, ignoring the rental car.
And I think we all agree that in any suppression hearing, the government bears the burden of proof. Even though it's your burden to go forward, the government bears the burden of proving that the stop is constitutional. And I think what Moore suggests is that that burden was not met. In other words, there was some evidence, but it still didn't reach the threshold weight necessary to find that the stop was constitutional.
And I would argue that the evidence that was presented here is not sufficient to meet that threshold. The trooper had to make several logical leaps to get to the point where he's conducting the stop. The sticker is dirty, it's taped. Therefore, it must have been taken off another windshield. And the fact that it was taken off of another windshield, and this is all happening in his head, this before he questions Mr. Gibbs, the fact that it was taken off of another windshield must mean that it was taken criminally. It was stolen from a windshield.
But counsel, Terry and its progeny say that there are all kinds of innocent, potential innocent behavior. That doesn't negate the basis for the stop.
And I agree with that, Judge, but then we have the Campbell case, which says that essentially the Campbell and the Spencer case, which will say that there is the potential for an innocent explanation. In Campbell, he was in compliance with the antique car regulations, statutes. But in Spencer, it was that you don't need a city decal when you're in certain cities. So the court has taken into account these innocent explanations and said that if the only way to determine it is to effectuate a stop, then that's not sufficient reasonable suspicion. And I kind of cut Your Honor off. So
it's okay. It's your time, counsel.
So, Judge, what we're left with is this is kind of the most straightforward out of these three or four cases that I've cited. Each of the other ones have a wrinkle. Is the court, and I think the fact that it's straightforward actually makes it easier for the court. I'd ask the court to focus on that Campbell case, ask the court to focus on Moore, and ask the court to focus on Spencer. In a situation where there's no direct evidence of any kind of criminal violation, the sticker is taped to the windshield. I cited the administrative code in my brief to try to see if there was any kind of statutes or code or regulations governing how you're supposed to attach inspection stickers to your windshield.
But you do understand that the trooper said that he was familiar with counterfeit stickers and that typically the indicators were there, the dirtiness on the sticker and the tape to the windshield.
I'm stuck with that he did testify that he never had any training on it. I think there's one point where I ask him a question, have you had any training or experience, and he says experience only. But the court is entitled, and this court is entitled to take that into account, that he did have some experience dealing with counterfeit stickers. My argument is, Judge, that simply his experience does not, his experience and what he observed in the car was not sufficient to amount to even reasonable suspicion.
Thank you, counsel. You have about a little under a minute.
And if there are no further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for
rebuttal.
Thank you, Judge.
Ready for your answer?
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the Court, Elizabeth Fitzgerald on behalf of the Commonwealth. I think in response to Judge Alston's question off the bat, this is a case where the trial judge had the opportunity to weigh the police officer's testimony to determine his credibility and to infer from those questions and infer from his experience, 5 years of experience working primarily in traffic enforcement, that when he sees this kind of taped sticker, he's entitled to draw certain inferences based on his training experience as a police officer. I think it would be a difficult case if the situations were reversed. However, thankfully for the Commonwealth in this case, I'm on the other side of the bench in this one.
Well, counsel, how come why does Campbell not control here?
What's different in this case, Your Honor, Campbell and Spencer? Campbell did not have a particularized suspicion of wrongdoing. There's a vehicle on the road with antique plates on it. There are any number of reasons why an antique vehicle may be on the road. There was nothing that a police officer articulated that was a specific reason to pull this specific vehicle over that made him suspect that that vehicle was not operating in compliance with the antique vehicle rules. In this case, however, the police officer testified, he's been a state trooper for 5 years, he works primarily traffic enforcement, he's seen 50 to 60 tape stickers, he's familiar with counterfeit stickers, and he sees the tape sticker taped on all four corners, not just the peeling sticker, excessively taped, I believe is the language that he used. And he testifies it's dirty, which means that the adhesive has been exposed to the air and to dirt, and in his experience, that's indicative of a counterfeit or improperly displayed sticker.
But aren't there circumstances out there where the sticker could be in that condition? For instance, I know that when people get their glass broken, a rock comes up and hits the glass. What the glass companies will do is they'll try to take a little knife and peel the sticker off and then put the new windshield up, and then they'll figure out some way to put the sticker back on there. And obviously it's not in the pristine condition that it was in when it was on the original windshield, but it looks like it's not the way that it was originally provided, doesn't it? Basically, in those circumstances, give a law enforcement officer carte blanche to pull over any car that has some discrepancy regarding the presentation of the sticker.
No, I think in this case, the dirty sticker, the tape sticker, gave the officer a reason to briefly detain this person to investigate. You know, whether that person had a reasonable hypothesis of innocence, could have come out of trial, whether we were dealing with probable cause. But here, all we need is that officer's reasonable suspicion, not even 50-50, a moderate chance under this court's en banc in Mason, that sticker is counterfeit, and based on his training experience.
Where does that reasonable suspicion, suspicion begin and that hunch end?
Well, Your Honor, I think in this case, because the officer could point to particular facts that he observed that led him to that conclusion, the officer doesn't even have to articulate them, but in this case, the officer did certainly articulated the particular facts and why, in his experience, those facts led him to this conclusion. This is not a case of a spot check. It's not like he just pulled him over, for no reason to check and see what the date on the sticker said. This is a case where he observed something about that sticker that gave him pause as a police officer, and relying on his training experience, relying on those factors that, as this court has held, may not be readily apparent to the average person, but a law enforcement officer can certainly draw different conclusions. And it is sufficient in this case to briefly stop and detain him to see whether, in fact, his windshield has been broken or to see if he has a valid reason for displaying the sticker in that matter. And that's certainly what the officer did here. He briefly detained him, he inquired after that status, and he was perfectly reasonable to do so. I think it would be different in this case, Your Honor, if there was a, Smiley's glass, window replacement sticker also on the window that he observed. I think we would be similar to Moore in that case if the officer has something to undermine
the
suspicion.
Sounds like your window has been broken before, be able to refer to a specific company. That...
they also advertise heavily in the Richmond area. A lot of radio time, but if the officer had some reason to believe, something to undermine his suspicion, as in Moore, where it was a rental car, and so we know this driver is likely not intentionally using or displaying a forged sticker. We don't have anything to undermine that officer's suspicions.
Obviously, the standard of review here is that we're looking at this as a mixed question of law and fact. Do you believe that the law drives the resolution of this case, or the facts of this case actually drive the resolution?
I think it's a combination, as we say, like most questions of law and facts. However, this court is bound by the trial court's fact-finding in this case, and every Fourth Amendment case is based on the totality of the circumstances, and everything rises and falls on the particular facts of each case. So I guess I would say that the facts are significant, and of course this case, this court applies law to those facts. However, we can't get to any conclusion if we don't have the facts to base it off. And the trial court in this case certainly had an opportunity to observe that officer's demeanor on the stand and to weigh its credibility and to see what kind of weight his law enforcement judgment was entitled to. I know this trooper was only a trooper for 5 years, but he was 5 years working primarily traffic enforcement and testified. He looked at every...
5 years pulling people over with stickers.
Every car that passed by, he was checking its inspection sticker, and he was able to identify this one as suspicious, and that was a reasonable suspicion.
That was good recovery. You did recover well from his question.
What did the trooper suspect?
Suspect that sticker was being used or displayed in violation of the law. He has experience with counterfeit stickers and sticker tampering, and it's been removed from that windshield before. 46.2-1172 and 1173 talk about using or displaying a sticker that you know has been removed from the windshield that it was given to you, or that is a counterfeit sticker, which the knowledge requirement there again that we saw in Moore. And I would note that this court has distinguished Moore on the same basis multiple times before, although they were in unpublished cases in Diggs and Callaway and in Williams. So I would submit this case is not like Moore, and the trial court in this case did not err in refusing the suppression motion. That's what you affirm.
So as you're approaching, and I'll give you a chance to think about it before the time begins, is your position essentially that this stop is pretextual?
No, that's not my position.
Okay.
And I think that goes to perhaps what you were, Your Honor was suggesting before. This could be the most credible officer in the world. This could be, the court doesn't have to make a finding that the trooper was lying, or the trooper was mistaken, or the trooper didn't know what he was talking about when he pulled his car over. The court just has to find that the reasoning that this trooper used and that he testified to is not sufficient under the law. So whether it's a pretext or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to argue that it's a pretext. I'm just going to argue that his logic didn't amount to reasonable suspicion. And I think Your Honor asked a very good question earlier. What did the trooper suspect? And it might be the most basic question that I never thought about. What did he suspect? That the sticker was taken off of a different windshield. That it had been somewhere, it wasn't, that it had been removed from somewhere else and put on that windshield. And that's all you can assume based on what he saw, the dirtiness, the tape. That's all you can assume, that maybe this sticker was taken off of another windshield. But as I said in my brief, that's not illegal. The code specifically contemplates taking it off of another windshield and putting it onto another, and says nothing about how you're supposed to attach an inspection sticker after that. We do have the testimony from the trooper that they're normally attached with some kind of adhesive on the back, but that's not required. And it's not required that it always remain on the same windshield. So I think the trooper necessarily made at least two leaps of logic when he looked at that sticker. It must have been moved based on the dirt that I can see and the tape, and it must have been stolen. And a further leap of logic that Mr. Gibbs must know about it. So, Judge, based on that... Oh, sorry.
I was just going to tell you your time had expired, but go ahead and conclude.
Based on that, I'm asking the court to find in my favor on the suppression motion to send it back to the lower court reversed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
What do I want?